Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, this is Howes New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're continuing our series on buying a home with part 6, which will deal with home staging and organizing, as we welcome Amy Schoenfeld, the expert organizer, to the show. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year. We're going to be talking with Amy Schoenfeld in just a moment as we delve into home staging and how to organize your home. Bob will be joining us.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old. Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome, everyone, to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we are talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topic of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing. Tonight we have as our guest Amy Schoenfeld. Amy, better known as the expert organizer, is a guest in a series of shows that we're doing on how to buy a home, and Amy's going to talk to us tonight about staging your home in order to get the best effect, the best price, and the best initial showing of a property. So welcome, Amy, to the show.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me this evening.
Yes, it's great to have you on. You have some credentials. You are the expert organizer. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what that actually means?
I am a transition life specialist. I help people transition from clutter and chaos to control and calm in their personal spaces. And as it relates to selling homes, many times I also help people transition from being a homeowner to a property seller, which is a mental transition from one position to another.
Yeah, Jason, my producer, and I were talking before the show about how both of your skills, that of being able to organize people to both move in and out of properties, mm-hmm. as well as staging the properties to allow people to get out of their property quickly and for the highest price, really go together. And that's the second of your the hats that you're wearing tonight, is that of a showcaser, getting a person home ready to show. So tell us, what is your mindset going in to any person's house who hires you to help them put their house in the best light?
The first thing I want to do is make sure that we have the best first impression, and you only get one chance to get one impression, and that's the first time somebody sees it. So there are two first impressions for me, especially now that everything is online and people are purchasing on the computer. Everything must photograph beautifully. That is the key, or people will not be drawn to the property. So my first focus is, how will this room photograph so that people see the potential and all of the beautiful elements in the room, whether it's a beautiful French door, beautiful woodwork, anything that makes that particular room stand out. And then the other part of it is, what will they see when they physically show up to the room? Will they see how it feels to be in it, and will they again see the potential of moving into it for themselves? So there are two different views that they have to see, the online and the in-person line.
So, you know, this whole idea of online really is a lot different than house staging maybe, say, 5 years ago when mm-hmm. it was only bring the person over to the home, walk through it. Now you're suggesting that people are going online looking at photographs. And let's talk about that for a second. Give us some hints or tips about a photography and whether it be still or video. What are people online looking for, and what are you as the stager trying to show them or highlight?
Many times when I am working with a realtor, because that is usually the first person who will call me. So when a realtor calls me, they usually have a budget in mind in their office as to how much they are going to invest on online presence. Some realtors only do still pictures, and other realtors will do an actual walkthrough as if you were physically there at the property's, you know, at the property. Therefore, I have to make sure that people actually feel that they are in the place, even though they're not there. I make sure there's plenty of light. Light is always a key. If you can't see what you're looking at, you just don't see the property. And so my first potential when it comes to photographing is is there adequate lights you actually can see the property? And can you actually see the size of the property? A picture can be very deceiving as to whether we have high ceilings, low ceilings, great floors, you know, wonderful doors. And so when I am there with the photographer, I always try to act as sort of the cheerleader for that room or the cheerleader for that property, cheering it on, saying, you know, smile, look your best, because a room, just like any other photograph, has to smile and look its best. You know, clean your teeth before you take a photograph.
Right.
And that's what
right.
we want the room to look like.
And when you talk about a photographer, are you talking about mm-hmm. the homeowner or someone from the broker's office, or are you hiring someone who does interior photography?
Yeah, historically, in my experience, the photographers and the videographers have been supplied by the real estate broker themselves and or their organization. So I've worked with both, the real estate broker themselves taking the photographs and larger companies where they bring in their own photographers and videographers. So I've worked with both.
And what's
That's
the
not
highest,
the homeowner.
Right. What's the highest level of film or video presentation that you've seen? Do they people even go so far as to put music to it or words?
Yes.
Or?
Oh, yes. I've seen it with music. And some of them actually start almost like they make a story out of it. And it starts by walking up the stairs and opening the front door. And they actually do, to me, it's almost like a short film that you see at Oscar time. You know, a film that only took, let's say, a half an hour. Many of the brokers have, rather than doing a million open houses and walking a million people through, they feel they get a greater bang for their buck and hit a much larger audience when they actually walk them through a videography experience. So someone in California can actually walk through an entire penthouse in, you know, Maine if they want to, and never leave California and still have a sense and a feel for what that home and that community is all about.
So who's driving this desire for video? Is it the broker? Is it the homeowner? Is it the potential buyer? Who's looking for these ever-increasing video effects?
I think in this age when time is of the essence and we have a country of people who are very busy working and want to maximize their time, that's how they want to see their properties. They want to shop first with their eyes in a computer, and when they have one or two properties that they've actually fallen in love with or think have the potential, then they want to physically go out and see it. And so I think most people are shopping that way. I think they shop that way for cars now. I think almost any commodity, homes, cars, clothes, you know, Christmas shopping, no one wants to be in the store. Everybody wants to they want to shop in their pajamas.
Sure.
Just like banking in their pajamas.
Right. So they want to make – some actually consummate the deal, you know, mm-hmm. over the Internet without ever physically going to –
Correct.
The location or the store or whatever, but also
yeah.
a lot of people use it as initial research and maybe to filter out, well, you know, these rooms are a little smaller than I wanted mm-hmm. or I wanted a walk-in closet. It doesn't exist at all.
Yeah, as well as the other way. You know, I didn't want to buy an English Tudor. I don't want to buy, a brownstone. But once they click on the link and they get to walk up that beautiful staircase and they get to see that woodwork, they say, oh, you know, maybe I should rethink this decision. And so many times the walkthrough video and the photographs plant a seed that this, although you weren't thinking about it and you never wanted to look at that type of property, maybe you're going to change your mind and maybe this is something you should have thought of. And so it does give people an opportunity to not just look at a particular style, but now they have a full range of every style property that they can think of, as long as it's in the neighborhood in which they want to move. So it gives people choices.
Last question on this mm-hmm. whole photography video.
Right.
Is this standard operating procedure now for brokers to offer that, or is this an upgrade, or you have to go search for a broker who will offer these services?
The brokers that I work with, and you know who, you know, within our group, I don't know any broker who does not photograph, actually, from single practitioners who work on their own to larger companies that have, you know, hundreds of employees. I think it's now almost 2014, and if you don't photograph your property, there's a question as to why. It's a very big negative not to have a picture online. It's, you know, I'm going to sell you a car, but I'll just describe it to you. I'm not going to let you see it.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that car.
There's something disappointing about those eBay ads and those mm-hmm. Craigslist ads where it just gives you a description and not
right.
the picture, and you wonder.
Yeah. It's a house. It has windows and doors. It has a staircase. It has rooms. It's
right.
No, yeah, I need a little more.
Need more than that. Yes.
Correct. Correct.
All right. So the homeowner, the home seller has already mm-hmm. made their deal with the broker.
Correct.
And who brings you in? Is it the homeowner who says this place needs a little spiffing up, or is it the broker who makes the suggestion?
Most of the time, in my experience, it has been a broker who has contacted me for two reasons. The first one is because they can't see the potential in the property, which means that when they start to photograph them and if they ever brought anyone in, they just will not be able to see the value of the property. And they will explain that to their client. And so I will come in as a consultation to let them set their goals and a plan. The other way it also works is sometimes we are moving people from their home into an assisted living or some other facility, and either a social worker and or the children or the niece or a nephew of that person will contact me saying, you know, we need to move them from one place to another, so we need to get them packed, and we need the property to show at its best because we need to sell it. So I've been contacted on both arenas, once by the, you know, by the retail person, the real estate person, and other times by family members as well.
And when the real estate, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Many times my clients with whom I'm working just in organization will also recommend me to someone who is moving and say, here's an opportunity to get yourself packed, to get your property to show at its best, and then you'll be, you know, it'll be a much smoother transition for you.
And when the broker suggests you, you are not paid by the broker. It's the individual, the homeowner's choice to hire you and pay you. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I am a direct. I work directly with the property seller. That is correct.
So, how does a homeowner who's lived in their house for 30 years and thinks they're living in a palace take it when you come up and say, "Get rid of all those photographs," and you know that. You know, put some kind of cover over that couch,
right.
And what are all these stains in the carpet? How do they take you being? I guess you tell us what your tact is. Are you brutally honest? Do you have a rough bedside manner, saying you better take these pills or else you're going to die, or do you use a diplomatic approach?
The same approach that I use to organizing someone who can't find what they want to find when they want to find it, and feel very frustrated, is the same way that I approach someone who's making a huge life transition. Selling a property and relocating is an enormous emotional stress. Just the contemplation of it is exhausting and frustrating. And so I sit down and I start to talk about where do we want to be and what do we want to take with us and what would make you most comfortable. And we talk about, you know, if we had to pack in an hour, what are the things that you would pack, for instance? And they would say, oh, we want, you know, all the wedding pictures and the event pictures, and we would never leave this behind and leave that behind. And so those are the things that they love, honor, and cherish. And most of the time, my suggestion is if those are the things we love, honor, and cherish, those are the things we should pack first because they're our priority. And we want to take them as we go to our next space and leave behind here for the potential purchaser to see the property without the things that you love, honor, and cherish. As well, you know, we try, for instance, now it's winter. I make sure, you know, no one is, unless, I shouldn't say that this weekend could be 60 degrees. Most of us are not going to be wearing spring and summer clothes. So, you know, we talk about these clothes can be packed and ready to go, which opens up the space in closets. So what we try to do is rather than say, you must take down that, and we must get rid of this, we talk about what are we taking with us. And then the separation and the moving of those objects does not become more dramatic or more painful than it already is.
Right, and it incorporates it into the already, you know, the next stage, which was actually moving and your stuff.
Correct.
That's the way you approach it.
Right.
Do you get any pushback from people as to, you know, this is the way I've lived for 30 years? And
no, in fact, most people are thrilled to death because what happens is they are only then going to take with them the things that they really love, honor, and cherish. How many pots and pans do they have? Millions from, you know, every year that they, you know, tried a new recipe, for instance, in kitchens. But which pan works the best, that's what they want to take. And therefore, what happens is when they're ready to move, the move is much, much smoother. And many times I help them unpack at the other end. If it's not, and I've gone to Florida to unpack and to North Las Vegas to unpack.
Wow.
So I pack them here and then I move
them
there. Yeah, I've done both ends. I've done both ends. Pack them here and unpack them there. And that's a comfort for many people because it's a huge undertaking. And many children find this as a burden if they, you know, because they have so many issues on their plates as well. They really cannot help parents and aunts and uncles get themselves from point A to point B. And it can become exhausting for children to do that as well. And so I fill in for the children who can't be there to help their parents transition.
So one of the techniques is to segue from moving your stuff ultimately and uncluttering your space.
Mm-hmm.
How about making suggestions like maybe you need a plant here or get rid of that dead plant or maybe you need a paint job?
I hear
the rug.
You.
Right.
Okay. The concept of how much stuff we can do and how many things we're going to change and modify is all dependent, Bob, on a budget. And it is not for me as an employee to set the budget. It is the home, at this moment, the homeowner, soon to be a property seller, to say, I have a budget of, and they have to pick a budget. So when we talk about where do we need to go to get from point A to point B, we then say, how can we accomplish that within this budget? If a homeowner says, you know, I only have $500 to spend, or I have, you know, my limit is $25,000, we try to get the greatest bang for our buck for that budget. And I would never set a budget. That's not what I do. Most of the time, the budget usually can be about 1%, maximum about 1% of the selling price, depending upon the condition of the property, you know, that we're working with. If someone has a bubblegum pink bedroom, it will be a challenge to sell. And it can cost, you know, it's $250 a day to do painting. So, you know, if we can get rid of that bubblegum and make back within the budget that $250 when they do the sale of the property, then it's a good investment. If not, it will become, in the purchaser's mind, a challenge with a bubblegum pink bedroom, which we will overcome.
How do you navigate that fine line between staging and maybe renovating or repairs?
Well, again, it is, you know, there are certain safety things that must be done. And so many times I will bring in someone to take a look at a guardrail or a handrail or a step. And if we feel that something is a safety issue, then that comes to the top of the list. Before the bubblegum pink bedroom, we have to fix, you know, the handrail because it's a matter of safety. I know there has been a challenge with some of the electrical boxes, and just for the moment, I cannot remember the name of the company.
General Pacific.
Oh, there we go. thank you, Bob. You know, that is a priority. It's much more important than vacuuming the carpet to do things like that. And usually any project that we are working on, everyone gets a full written evaluation, ceiling, walls, and floors, of everything that will be done or could be done in the property. And everything is on a 1, 2, 3, or an ABC scale. If it's a 1 or an A, it's what I think must be done. If it's 2 or a B, it should be done. And if it's a 3 or a C, it's the nice fluff. And I always discuss it with the broker and obviously the property seller so that we're all in agreement and we're all in alignment, that we're all focusing on the same goals. So
Amy,
something,
do you ever have the experience when you're at the property and prospective buyers come in and comment on something that you helped set up? Have you ever had that experience?
I have. I have, and it's
very
interesting.
Yes.
It is very gratifying. What is also gratifying is to be at a property where either the children or some family member has come in who I was not aware of, you know, being connected to the actual property, and said, "Oh, this room has never looked as light and bright and warm and comfortable. What a great job." Only to find out that that was a niece or someone else, you know, some other relative. And it's a comfort for me to know that the family appreciates what we're doing with that property. So, that has happened a few times. I also do have to tell you, I once staged a property and the property sellers fell in love with their property and decided not to sell it. that was kind of a shock. But they said, you know what, now we like it, we're staying. So
broker didn't like you, but the
no. Well, but you know what? Those are the risks I guess we take when you do something wonderful.
Have you ever had the experience of walking into a hoarder's home and say, "Ay, ay, ay"?
I actually do not work with hoarders because I don't have the qualifications to work with a hoarder. That is a whole complete, that is a very big specialty. So I do not work with hoarders per se, but I have worked and been in homes that have been incredibly neglected and people are no longer living there. That I have had, where the children have already taken their parents or their aunts and uncles or relatives out of the physical property and moved them to another place. And so there are a couple of different issues that go on there. It is getting the property in sellable condition. It's finding all of the things that family members are looking for, particular pictures, a special camera that somebody had, a Zippy doll that was somebody's favorite, all of those things that people do not want left in the house. You know, I have had that situation. And then getting the house, in fact, cleared out of all of the debris, and then having the broker come in and be able to photograph and show the property. That has happened. And that's a much longer journey, you know.
And take it to the extreme where there's a vacant house. Do you ever contemplate putting stuff into a vacant house?
Vacant properties, whether they are brand new lofts built on, by Donald Trump on the West Side Highway, or a one bedroom apartment, in Greenpoint, it doesn't matter. Vacant properties are very, very difficult when they photograph. And you know that everything needs to be photographed. The only thing you see is ceilings, walls, and floors and light coming in through the windows, which gives you very strange perspective as to what's there. And especially in very new properties where there is so much glass, you actually don't get any perspective except that you're standing on a ledge looking into space. So the ability to put furniture into a property just so that everything has an identity is critical. It's very critical. Every room has to have an identity. And we're not decorating it. There's a difference between staging and decorating. So we're not going to be putting in window treatments and all of the art, and that's not what we're doing on a vacant property. We're just helping people see what is there and what they can do with that open space. And that, so vacant properties almost always must have furniture, or they just will be incredibly difficult to sell. You know, people, Bob, let me just say, most people, if I tell them that the room, if there's a photograph of a room, and we tell you it's 72 by 104. I don't know what that tells you, unless you yourself, you know, are an architect and you have that kind of perspective. I don't know what 72 by 104 would tell most people.
Sure.
But if they see, you know, three beautiful big couches and they see a dining room table and they see, you know, a desk and a flat screen TV and a kitchen, they have an understanding that this big open space is actually three spaces and they actually have three separate places to live in that one big space. So vacant properties, almost always when a broker calls me, it's because someone cannot see the potential of that property and it needs to be, you know, staged with furniture.
Amy, we're at the towards the end of our show,
yes.
And
we're okay.
Just going to ask you to maybe give our listeners, just a little highlight on why they should decide to stage their property, you know, in anticipation of selling.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Well, let me say that numbers usually talk a very strong point. HUD reports that houses that are staged or any properties that are staged usually sell for 17% more than a non-staged property. So if you had two apartments and they were exactly the same, the one that is staged will probably sell for 70% more. It will also move much faster. It will be off the market long before the empty one will, or the one that is full of clutter and, you know, doesn't show well in a photograph. The other thing is, what did I want to say? Oh, the cost of it. Most of the time, historically, people who have invested in home staging make a profit on it. So if they invested $500 in staging, they will get that back in the price of the house. So it is not money thrown away, which is a misconception, that if I put money into staging, I will not make the money back at the end, which is not true. And if people leave their property in what I would call as-is condition, when those photographs go up on the web, what you're doing is helping anyone who's competing against you to sell their property. That's what you've done. You've helped somebody else sell their property instead of selling yours. So you will, be able to sell it more quickly for a greater profit if you have it staged.
Well, you make a very compelling argument, Amy, and you are very qualified. You are the expert organizer.
Thank you.
And if people want to look for your presence on the web or emails or telephone, tell us how they could contact you.
All righty. My website is www.theexpertorganizer.com. They can email me at amy1948@msn.com. And I can be reached by text or on my cell at 917-903-8769.
Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you for being part of our series, How to Sell a Home. And you play a very integral part in making sure that the house ultimately sells in a fast time and for greater profit. And you also ease the seller into the moving mode a little more easily than them being shocked into it
correct.
A few weeks before the closing date is set by their attorneys.
Yes.
Well,
have a team. You know, I don't do this by myself. You know, the realtor and all of the people who are in my Power of 10 team assist me and help me get to that goal as well.
Yes, you have the inspectors, the contractors, mm-hmm. the electricians, the plumbers, all those people are working together to make...
And great real estate people who understand the value of what I do.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Very
value
important.
Is something that's sometimes not understood or appreciated, but
correct.
It is one of the elements of the bottom line.
Yes.
So, Amy, we appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll chat in the near future as to other areas of work that you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your graciousness, and I wish everybody a happy and a healthy holiday, Bob. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to Amy Schoenfeld. Amy is the expert organizer and home stager, for sharing her ideas with us as to why a homeowner who is anticipating selling their home should employ her. Amy did mention that her services add to the value of the property, add to reducing the time on the market, and also lend an emotional support to people who are selling, getting them in the mode to both improve their property, start thinking about moving and relocating, which is a very big emotional aspect of any house sale. Well, this is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe. I said, we're not going to make this through a half an hour.
She was good.
Yeah, she was
good. I mean, all the people who pushed back the most and said they freeze and they're no good, they wound up being some of the better speakers. I'm curious to know what she said she drove them on packs. What does that mean? Is she hanging stuff up for you? Or?
That's a pretty good service, I guess.
It's an amazing thing to, what does it say as a species where we need people to tell us where to put things? But I've gotten all the videos up, so I think that maybe in January we'll tackle some of the other. We had another 7 or 8 to go on that list, and I should have some more. EHOW topics. That's another year.
From the, EHOW?
From the Miami, yeah. Are you around next week, or what is your...
Yep, I'm around all the time.
Okay. I might just swing by. I have something to drop off for you.
I'll write you a check. I'm wondering, going into the new year, can we shave this down a little, because it's getting just a little... expensive. I thought maybe if we could do $1,500, or cut your services down. I'm not expecting to do the same for that amount.
We can scale back some hours. How are you? Are you moving in soon, or would?
No, we're all in.
You're in the new.
Yeah, two months. So I'll ask next time you.
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we're about. We still have a punch list that's growing, not shrinking. And every day it's, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, to the side, or whatever. But I think we're kind of in a little hiatus right now. We told the contractor, enough is go somewhere else for a while. And then come back. The other topic I was going to talk to you about, St. Anselm. I know they made you find the treasure, and I said to them, this is not... this is like making me the car mechanic or something.
Well,
like
I saw, I had to go by Jim's office to find something this weekend. Okay. I told him numerous times. I said, at that day-long event, I sat in the meeting. Everybody in there is a CPA. I said, I'm happy to help. I said, it's really not my area.
No.
Especially when I think the other guy, Bob Johnson, is. He is a treasurer, and he is a treasurer.
Yeah, we are thinking about trying to either bring somebody on.
Yeah, you mentioned
who does that, or get Bob to do it. But I said, if you're in a situation, you can't expect it. That's not his thing. And I said, and the other thing, I think we're not using Barbara and Jason. We want that type of talent on the board, and. We're just not using it.
Yeah, I feel like there have been other things that have come before anything that I was brought on for. And again,
It's I just feel like I don't want, you know, St. Anselm's to be suffering because I don't get the terms. I don't understand all the, you know, the idiosyncrasies that go into that. I think he mentioned his brother-in-law or somebody that might have that experience or...
Yeah. There's all family through the board. But...
So we'll see. As whenever he gets...
Yeah, no, I said to him, I said it's unfair to expect someone that has no...
I almost gagged last time. I told him, like, I know Bob, so I haven't seen Bob in a while, but I know one of the meetings he's mentioning, you know, you got to be printing checks and printing checks. Like, what? I don't...
Yeah.
What checks am I finding? You know, I mean, I'm not... Certainly not, you know...
Actually, most it would be like a title, not
yeah.
a functioning...
Yeah, I mean,
you know, when they need you to open an account, you okay,
yeah.
you have to go to a bank
yeah.
and sign the paperwork.
Which is pretty much what has been the extent
yeah.
of my
service. But in terms of reviewing, I mean, we usually at the board, as you know,
yeah.
the diocese reviews the whole, you know, QuickBooks thing, money in, money out. But I really think we're not getting our value out of your skills by...
Yeah, it's just, it's miscast.
Yes.
But I did say, you know, and I don't know if he was aware of this at that meeting, there's an accounting firm that has been designated to say they've split all the academies between two firms, and Sainte-Eustache has a firm that is being paid by the diocese to handle any and all accounting questions. Yeah. We have a resource that, you know, we should take advantage of, or call them in and look over everything that we need to look over. I guess the same role that Pat McCone.
Yeah.
Phil's. I mean, they
well, we should have them once every 3 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to the guy at the meeting. He said he'd be happy to, like, you know, come sit in on a meeting with us or speak to us. But that makes all sense in the world.
So why don't you, well, to get yourself off the hook, try to invite this person to our next meeting.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have an evening meeting back in January because
okay.
we're going to try to dovetail it with, like, a committee, you know, you know, when we broke up into groups at that one meeting and there were those eight posts or whatever, I think Jim McEwen is trying to set up those committees actually to be working committees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I envisioned you being the head of, like, the marketing, you know, and then being surrounded by parents who want to help
yeah.
you or carry out, you say, you know, we need a Facebook campaign. And someone says, I'm on Facebook every day, I'll do it or something like that. And then you got, you know, do guiding or directing
yeah.
them.
Well, I mean, I guess it's part and parcel of, you know, it's a whole new thing.
Well, right. It's like trying to get a train underway. You know, there's a lot of inertia, and until you get rolling, then you're just pushing the train. You're not thinking about, you know.
Yeah, everything's just trying to get to the point of, like, let's launch and then... We'll see what it was.
Yeah,
so that's good news, I suppose. Point there.
Then back to this. Is there an end of year thing we should be doing? End of year recap. Maybe we get like a Frank Tamayo with Julie to talk about the year and what they anticipate the future to be, you know, what they're forecasting next year to be.
We could do a...
But we would have to have Frank and Julie both talk to their companies and to get their forecast of what the national scene is, because if you listen to the news, 1 week housing starts are up, the next week they're down. The next week they've hit all highs.
Yeah.
The next week they've hit all lows.
Yeah, you'd think that they're...